So maybe you stand on the scales one day and you thought you're going to lose 5 pounds and you've lost two. And you're like, oh, you still lost 2 pounds, but because you're comparing it to your ideal, which is a future which hasn't been created yet, you then beat yourself up. And if you focus on that, it creates a very negative feeling, which with weight loss will probably make you give up or eat more.
Losing weight isn't easy, and some days we can feel like we need some extra help. Welcome to the Weight Loss Warrior podcast, the show where we share inspiring real-life success stories from normal, everyday people like you and I. Listen to how each of our guests managed to overcome their personal challenges to lose the weight they wanted, as they talk about the secrets to their success and give great advice that you can benefit from. Become part of our tribe and use the Weight Loss Warrior podcast as your source of motivation and support to help you on your weight loss transformation. And now, your host and friend, Carl Radley.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Weight Loss Warrior podcast with me, your host, Carl. I hope you're doing well today, and I'm very happy to be introducing today's special guest. He's someone who doesn't have a weight loss journey to share that I know of, but he is my coach. His name's Johnny Bevan. He's someone I've been working with since October of last year and has been really, really important in terms of the work that I've done in the last 6 months and the changes I've made while we've been working together and the impact it's had on everything that I do. And I brought him here today to really talk about what he does, how he helps people. And I'm sure he'll tell a couple of funny stories as well. Johnny, welcome to the show. How are you?
Very good, mate. How are you? You okay?
Yeah, doing marvelous. And I feel like I kind of miss you a bit now that we're not actually in a coaching session, like a regime. I don't know where that came from.
don't let any of that be what you're trying to put people off with.
Maybe I feel a bit nervous.
Coaching
program. So, okay, let's explain it properly. I turned 40 in October and decided to find a coach, someone who could help me with the podcast, but it really helped me work on myself and progress in terms of becoming a coach and also building my business and really just fixing some of the stuff and issues that I felt needed to be attended to. And you came highly recommended. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, what you do and how you help people?
I will, Carl, I will.
Thank you very much.
So I am, as I said, Johnny Bevan, and I'm the police burnout coach. I'm also in the police. So I've been in the police for just over 16 years, 16 years in June. And actually, is that right? What month are we on now? Ooh, all right, it's nearly 17 years, actually. Anyway, I joined 2007. My maths isn't my strong point, so I'm not going to try and wear that
out. A long time, we'll say. Yeah, you've been in the place a long time.
Let's just go with that. And in like a nutshell, my journey was I loved the police when I first joined, did uniform, did what we call the squad work, so doing the proactive work, jumping on drug dealers. Apologies for any of those that are listening, but we did. We loved it. and knocking people's doors in. And it was just... It was just great fun. Then joined CID and still enjoyed it, but I was dealing with high-risk domestics, child protection stuff, and that's when I started feeling that pressure and stress building. And basically, I came across coaching because my wife rammed it down my throat after I was in a state of sort of high stress, really close to burnout, been there a couple of times before, and we were doing loads of DIY. So I had to change something. And I come across coaching. And for me, it's not for everyone, but for me, it changed everything. And what was great about it was the job I had escaped, I then went back to see if what I'd applied worked as in child protection. And my experience was very different. So I did coaching actually to give me to get out of the police, but it enabled me to get my love back for it. So now I've reduced my hours down a bit. And so I do like 30 hours a week, but I do the rest of the time coaching people that are stressed, burnt out. And really, I suppose if I was going to sum up who I work with generally, obviously this wasn't yourself, was it? But those people that have just fallen out of love with their job and the job they really used to love doing. And yeah, so I coach them now. So I'll be honest, I feel like it's my calling. I just love it. It doesn't feel like work. It's just love doing it. Quick turnarounds you get with people and you make a difference to them. Yeah. So that's basically me.
And that's something, thank you. And that's something I can relate to in terms of discovering coaching in terms of helping other people and describing it as a calling, as your purpose, because I certainly felt that even when I started the podcast and realized I could use something to help other people. And that is something that I think that you can't manufacture or, you know, until you find it, I don't think you can really appreciate it either. And incidentally, I should have mentioned this at the beginning, your wife, Nikki, because somebody might have heard, you know, might have listened to episode, I'm pretending that I'm thinking of it, but I checked before the episode. It's episode 82. I was going to try and flavor it off and say, yeah, you know, I think it was episode 82, but no, it's definitely episode 82. But Nikki came onto the show to talk about her journey, how she, as a coach, helps other people, but also shared the amazing story of the DIY and your house renovation and how, was it the kitchen was in the bathroom and but it drove you crazy, ultimately. Carrying a fridge up the stairs and all of that. And it was an amazing story, to be honest with you, Johnny.
It was, when I look back, I'm a very, very different person. I used to get quite angry very quickly in those days. When everything was going fine, I was generally fine. But yeah, at that point, and I got to the point where I needed to do something, otherwise I'd pop. And I see so many people waiting for that. But what I really like doing is trying to get people before. And what I love about coaching people, it's not like therapy or counseling where you've got to wait, you've got to have had a problem to come. I actually think for those high achiever types, if you think, well, there's nothing really to work on, that's what I love about it. It just accelerates you.
Of course.
And so my aim is to try and get people, those people with that potential that they're not really fulfilling, to go, actually, let's get it going, so they don't look back and live with regret.
Yeah, and this was true in my case, absolutely. But I feel, and what you've just described there, I'd say that you're trying to, instead of taking people from a negative place, bring them back to center and then take them forward, you're trying to prevent them from going backwards or into that negative place and just help them move forward faster than they probably would on their own. Now, with my podcast, with the people I work with, from a weight loss and mindset perspective, the majority of the people who are on a journey are already in that negative place trying to get out of it. And as I know you're a certified weight loss coach as well, you have experience in that. So I'd love to ask, you know, your experience working with people in weight loss and some of the observations that perhaps you have, and really any commonalities as well that you see in people who are looking to improve their lives that might be helpful for people listening today.
So what I find is, because when I certified with the Life Coach School, which is a company in the States, and I was a life and weight loss coach. That was just part of the program. And I got to be honest, I thought when you said before you didn't know if I'd been on a sort of weight loss journey, I was always about, I'd say, I could range, but anywhere between 14, I've been up to 16 stone before, anywhere between them, but I would always sit at about 14 stone, thinking that was my weight. But after coaching, I didn't deliberately necessarily go to lose weight, but what I did was as I reduced stress and I stopped overeating and all stuff like that, I naturally dropped down to a weight, and I sit at sort of like 12 and a quarter, 12 and a half now. So sort of dropped that sort of stone and a half. But so I've definitely lost weight and feel loads better for it. What I find is when I work with people, it's not like people come to me and go, I want to lose weight. What generally happens is they come and they're stressed, and what they're doing is they're eating, and also over drinking is quite a big thing. They're doing something. And so, whereas like someone might come to you and go, I want to lose weight, and then you probably go to the emotional side of why they're doing it. People come to me with stress, and then we're maybe addressed and go, well, actually, can you see, you know, when they're going home every night, they're digging into the cake and stuff like that. Or they're at work, typical place we do, eat loads of bloody donuts and all that rubbish. And then what I find is we can then sort of go off and address that if they want. But mine isn't like you come in, you have an eating plan. Mine is going into the reason, that reason why you're eating.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy it. In the coaching world, we call it buffering. When you do anything to avoid doing something. So, and you see it in so many ways. Mine was actually the gym I definitely did it with food, but mine was the gym. I would go to the gym rather than deal with my stress. Mm-hmm. Some people go, well, the gym deals with the stress. And in certain, yes, it does, but not how I was doing it. I had
If you're avoiding it.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so I was working with someone once and they would say, like, they go home and they would have a drink. And then I just pointed it out to them and said, oh, actually, is that something you want to work on? And then they didn't want to. So then we talked about the stress and all that sort of stuff and relationship issue they had. And then they came back and went, I want to work on the drinking now. So we then worked on that. And yeah, so I find people come to me with one thing. And then once I point it out, they may or may not want to work on it.
For sure. And this is something I find myself saying quite a lot, that weight loss is a byproduct of a healthy mindset. And I think what you've just described there is very similar, because so many people have losing weight as the goal, or feeling that once they've lost weight, everything else around them, their environment will be better. Mm. Whereas in fact, it's round the other way, in my opinion, that the environment, what makes them tick, what makes them stressed, what makes them happy, what makes them secure, if that isn't dealt with, weight loss is really just, you know, like you say, a result of avoiding dealing with that emotional side by overeating, overdrinking. It's quite interesting what you said, that, you know, the gym, which is obviously something healthy, something that people would associate with looking after yourself, can actually be used as a tool to avoid other problems.
And that's why I think there's no one thing. I think everyone wants a list of healthy stuff to do and unhealthy stuff. And one thing I've done with my values, one of my values is balance, because I realize everything balanced, you're going to be pretty much okay with it. But like for me, I was going to the gym and I'd have to do it before I could go home because to feel anything like normal. And what I find is going to the gym would stop me. Maybe if I didn't do the gym, I'd eat. So I'd do the gym instead. Now, there's lots of theories about replacing it. I know that in the habits book, they talk about replacing the habit. I personally, that's not my way, because I believe at some point when you can't do that thing you've replaced the food with, say if you normally come home and eat and you go, I'm going to jog. That's worked for so many people. But at some point, and I actually worked with someone who had this, where they gave up the drink and they go out running, but then they injured their knee. Probably because they were overtraining because they had to do it. And then suddenly now they're back to the drinking, or the stress gets so much that the running isn't enough. And what I realize is when you become reliant on anything to deal with your stress, you're going to need to do that all the time. And there may be opportunities you can. And for me, even like when you go on things like holiday, like if you go, well, I need, like when I go on holiday, I like to be with my kids. Well, when I needed exercise, I'd be like, well, I got to go for a run, or I got to do this, I got to do that. But then when you realize you can deal with your stress internally, then you can do those things because you want them, not because you need them. And I think that's the big difference.
Being able to choose and having the control and being okay with that, as opposed to being driven or directed by that. And that's something that a lot of people, not people I've spoken to specifically, but people within the weight loss community who have had surgery specifically, who have used food as a coping mechanism, who have had disordered eating, and all of a sudden literally can't do that anymore because the ability is being taken away from them by having their stomach made smaller. And so there's I think it's transference. It's cool, where instead of being able to eat, they need that outlet. They need that way, that coping mechanism. And because it can't be food anymore, a lot of people turn to drink or drugs or, you know, various things, porn, another one. So I think that, like you said, unless you
deal with that. I've got it on in the background now, actually.
Have you? What category have you gone for today, Johnny? Not on that midget stuff again.
No, sorry. Too short, that. I like some a bit longer. But it is true.
13 minutes we got through without bringing the level down.
But it is true, because, like, so for instance, like my dad years ago gave up smoking, and people go, well, when you give up smoking, you put on weight. And you think giving up smoking doesn't make you put on weight. It's because you replace it with food, and then people replace the food with something else. Whereas I find as soon as you work on what you're avoiding and address that, the rest of it just drops away. And I'm a big believer in it now. And don't get me wrong, this isn't perfection. This is, you know, I can still see where I'm going, or I'm doing something that's a feeling I don't want to feel. And we do it, what I find is we do it with healthy things then. Mine, it was like rice cakes, corn thins. And this is even recently with like the nut butters, because you go, oh, nut butter, well, that's healthy in this. But all I noticed was I was coming in from work and then I was needing that. And that's what I say to people is, whatever it is, it's whether you feel like you need it. So people go, well, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. You go, okay, well, stop doing that for a bit for and just see what comes up. And if people can't stop it, it's because you're using it to feel better.
And that's really interesting.
And I think what I find really fascinating is, and I always use this when people go, my job is stressful. And that is their, be their fact. Like my job creates my stress. And I go, okay, what do you do when you go home? Well, I go home and I was speaking to someone, he like delves into the cake and he's eating the cake. And I go, how do you feel then? Well, I felt loads better. Feel loads better momentarily. And I go, what's changed about your day, your job? Because all this doing, all this stuff is doing is in changing your internal state. But of course, like anything, you become reliant on it. And then you've got that drive because we're forced towards, you know, our brain is motivated towards pleasure and it just wants more of it. So we're firing up this circuitry and we're avoiding the discomfort of the stressful job or the stressful day. But in the long term, we've just got more to deal with. And I'm really passionate about helping people change that. So it's not like, you know, where we give something up and we, yeah, everything's going well, but something derails us, which it will in our life. And then we're back to it. And then we go, oh, I'm doing that again. I'm doing that again. I think I love giving people the tools. Actually, they can just stop that cycle because that's exhausting in itself, isn't it?
And what, I mean, obviously, we don't have time to probably go through the whole process today. But in terms of actually helping people who find themselves doing that, because another story I'd read recently, very much linked to this, is that people, one of the first things people say when they're on a weight loss journey is, you know, get some kind of movement in, whether it's, you know, doing X amount of steps every day. But that's another example. But I read a story about a lady who started counting her steps, trying to get like 8,000 steps a day. But it literally drove her life because she was stressing about not doing enough steps. Yeah. She was walking around her lounge at 11:30 at night just to get the steps in. It wasn't enjoyable. And she felt that, you know, if she didn't get the steps, she was failing. When really, at an emotional level and from a mindset perspective, she wasn't succeeding, even though she was getting her steps in. So in terms, and if we can kind of relate it to weight loss, that'd be really great for our listeners, I think. But I think that mindset in general, it doesn't have to be tied to weight loss, because when you fix your mindset and you work on that, it can improve every area of your life. But is there a certain process you follow or certain things that you identify first to work on?
Well, the first thing, and this is probably the hardest thing for people, is liking where, or what, well, my aim is to get them to love where they are first. So the first thing I would want to help people realize is we don't want to think that losing weight is going to make us happy. And then that can be a big stretch for people to go, well, because I'm, say, I'm 16 stone, I think when I'm going to be 12, I'm going to be happy. Yes, you may well feel better, but the problem is our emotional state is not determined by anything outside of us. We are, it's our brain that creates those emotions and the, how we think about ourselves. And the problem is, it's almost like a horizon line. If we go, well, when I get to that weight, then I'm going to feel better. What can happen is you get there, but maybe you got, you know, we all have issues in our life. We also have troubles. And suddenly that horizon line is still in the distance. And then we need something else. And this is often when people come, they go, well, I want to just, I was working with someone who was actually a coach as well. And he wanted to lose weight and he was really down on himself. But what he was doing was beating himself. He was like, it was like a punishing losing weight because I'm going to be better there than here. And what we did was we showed him that actually when he loses weight, he's just going to have different thoughts about himself, which is going to create this feeling. And we need to create that ahead of time. And the reason that's so important is because you might have someone, like for instance, I feel better than I ever have. I'm between 12 and a half stone. But there's people that look at me who know me when I was 14 stone and go, oh, you're too skinny. I wouldn't want to be that small. So the weight, my physique is not what makes me feel good. It's my thoughts about that physique. Because someone else, so someone I work with who's like a bloody great brute of a bloke, and he'll go, no, don't like that. So as soon as you show people that and you realize how they are now could be really attractive to someone. So like, for instance, like if you go to some of the Samoan cultures and things like that, big is beautiful, isn't it? it's their perception of it. So they go, so I think getting someone there first and doing it from a place of love for themselves and not hate. Because I always say to people, you don't look after what you don't love. So if you hate yourself now and you think, when I lose weight, I'm going to feel great, what's going to happen is your brain, the negative thoughts you have about yourself will just divert to something else. And what I find is the weight is the symptom, and like, and it's often of something going on cognitively. So it's the weight loss is going to be almost like a byproduct. As soon as you address that and clear that up, you get this, you feel better, and then you want to look after it. You want to look after this thing. So, but you're not in a rush. You don't think that when I lose this weight, I'm going to feel better. You start feeling better right from the outset. Of course, a lot of people go, well, I'm not going to lose weight then. And you go, well, can you think of something that you've borrowed and or you're looking after? And you go, do you just stop caring for it? No, you don't. You actually look after that more, but you're not in a rush. You're not doing ridiculous. I see people in the gym thrashing themselves or crazy diets, you know, where you're not, you know, people are counting calories, but what they're eating is a load of crap, but they know they're still lose weight. What you do is you start looking after this body. So that's my real first step to go, to make people realize, where you do that with a thing called the model, where you go, your body is your circumstance. That's very neutral, what you think about it. And we'll help them clean that up in the first place. I think it's great if you can get where you realize, you know, that you love yourself as you are. But we had someone and they had a real issue with being overweight, but it was affecting their body. They were actually the other way. They'd gone down the other side of they're afraid of putting weight on. But even if you just have that understanding that someone would think that your perfect physique isn't very good. So you get a bodybuilder, some people go, that's amazing. Other people go, oh, it's horrible. I can't look at it. And I think the main thing is, and I always ask this, what do you want? Why do you want it? Because if you want your body to be a certain way, and we're all a bit vain, aren't we? We all like people to look at us and go, oh yeah, you look good. But if that's your sole driver, there's going to be someone that doesn't like that. And as
you
much
can't
as
please everybody.
Yeah. And as much as the good comments will fuel you, the bad comments will knock you down. So when I lost weight, I felt some people going, well, you've never looked better. Other people someone said when I first lost weight that I looked like Tom Hanks off Philadelphia. But I was feeling great. You know, I go off with my boys and I'm climbing trees, hanging off trees with one arm. My canoeing's better than it's ever been. But you realize you've got to be doing it for you. And doing it from a place of love.
That's, I think, the key part here. And it's interesting you say that, because when I first moved to Barcelona, I lost probably about 2.5-3 stone between the June when I arrived and October, November time when I first went back to visit. It just fell off me. But it was because I was out all night drinking, eating very, very little, and literally couldn't afford, because all my money was going on drink. I was eating a ham baguette every day, and that was pretty much it.
Is that the weight loss program you offer now? I reckon that's that.
We have salad versions for vegans and vegetarians as well. But no, but the thing was, I was so proud of myself for losing weight, because I'd lost more weight in that short time than I ever had before. But I was the most unfit, unhealthy version of myself I'd ever been at the same time. And when I went back to the UK that first time, I was really proud to see everybody, but I hadn't seen for a few months. You know, look at me, I've moved to Spain, lost all this weight. And my brother, first thing he said to me is, wow, you look really frail. He used the word frail.
It's not a compliment you want, is it?
It's not what I was looking for. But you know what? It kind of helped me at the same time, because it made me think, like, I'm not healthy. I've lost weight, but I'm not healthy. And it wasn't coming from a place of love either. It was coming from a place of fueling other areas of my life, which felt more important about time, like partying and drinking and not taking good care of myself. But this time round, back in 2022, like it was, you know, decades ago.
Can't remember that.
Do you remember 2022?
Because when cars were on the road and everything, there was no hoverboards then, was it?
But the thing was, back then, I'm still saying it back then, but when I decided to really look after myself and arrive to 40 years old in the healthiest version that I could, it came from a completely different place. And like you said, it wasn't about trying to lose weight as quickly as possible. I started working on mindset and looking at what made me unhappy, what made me happy, and where I could work on myself. And this was something as well, although I did that on my own over a course and still doing it, the work that we did together, Johnny, from the very beginning, really accelerated that. It really helped me to ask questions. You called me out on a few things, which I thought were my reasons, especially around procrastination and, you know, looking at why I do certain things. And the model that you've just mentioned, I'd love to talk about it a bit more, actually, if we could, because that in itself helped me look at things from a different angle. And I think that people who are on a weight loss journey and the people who I interact with, people who listen to the podcast, often think, as we said before, that if you lose weight, then you'll become confident from losing the weight. But it's not so much that, it's just you stop talking to yourself in such a terrible way. You stop with the negative feedback, with the inner talk and self-chatter, because you turn the volume down on it because you just hate yourself less. And then you learn to love yourself from that aspect, in my opinion. But tell us about the model, if you could.
Can I just say as well, just quickly, just while it's in my head, is also the thing is, I find whether you could, this is the same with money, is what I find with money, with weight or anything. The problem is, if you lose weight from a place of scarcity, so if you think, when I am this weight, I'm going to feel better. Like, this is what's making me feel better. And then you get to that weight and you'll probably find that there's, you don't feel 100% happy all the time, because that's not where I was supposed to be. But what happens is then you fear putting it back on. So like, you're living in this place of fear, you're living in this place of hate of how you are, then you live in a place of fear and scarcity, running this race of losing weight, then you've lost weight, and then you fear going back to the old way. So you think, it's not really a great energy to live your life. And then something might happen, you might hurt yourself or something, you might lose your, you know, you might not be able to train and stuff like that. And I just find, when you think the confidence comes from the weight, the body, the how you look, you're just giving all your power away to something that may be not in your control sometimes. And you don't have to wait to lose weight to get confidence. You can get that confidence anyway.
Of course. That's why. And before we go into the point there that you just made, actually, I really like the fact that for people who lose the weight and have that fear, for somebody who's living in fear, that fear of that scarcity, I have to lose weight to be happy, then loses weight, and maintenance is, in my opinion, even harder than the journey down of losing weight. Because whether you're losing half a pound a week, whether you're losing 3 pounds a week, the goal is one thing, it's to lose weight. But to try and stay at a certain weight or within a range is much trickier. And I think that's where a lot of people fear, because it's uncharted territory as well for a lot of people. And having that fear, the stakes are higher. So if you do then, for whatever reason, regain that weight, you feel even worse about yourself. You hate yourself even more, because it's kind of like, look what I had and I've thrown it away. And then all of that negative feeling and emotion just comes back, but tenfold. I just wanted to raise that and mention that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's also, you're doing it from a place of deprivation, aren't you? You're doing it from a place of, I can't have that. and that's what I like to show people, that there's another way. And I think when you can get to where you love yourself as you are right now, what you'll do is some fantastic mind work anyway. You'll find out so much about yourself, and then you can lose the weight. But you always hear the same thing, I think, is, well, if I don't hate it, I'll put it back on. And it's just a myth. Because what I say to those people, I go, well, are you your ideal weight now? You don't like yourself now, are you your ideal weight? And they're like, well, no. Because what happens is, you get this cycle of people go, just say you get down to what you think your ideal weight is, you then put on a bit, and then you have really negative thoughts about it, which makes you feel a certain way, and then you're probably more likely to overeat.
Of course.
And it just feeds the cycle. Whereas when you can remove that, I just think it's such a healthier way to live. And the other thing is, you move one obsession from food to the scales. You know, you've got to come in, and suddenly this is an obsession. And what I find is, your brain has just found something new to focus on. I'm not saying that you don't, if you use scales, I'm not saying anything about that. I think it's just being aware. Like, you suddenly become this new obsession, and you're still missing all this other stuff that's going on around you, which is life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just regarding the scales, because I felt like a little bit there that you were almost worried about offending somebody because of the fact, for some people's journeys, it's quite a relevant part of it. But you know, I don't think I've spoken to any single person who uses the weight, the scales as part of their journey, who actually likes them. I know there's people who are indifferent and neutral. And this is the thing I try and work on. One of the hardest things I try and work on is, it's just data. it's just a measure of where you are in your journey. But I don't think anybody, and like Slimming World, for example, is one of the ones where each week you go to a group and get weighed in front of a whole group of people. And, yeah. and I don't think it creates anything positive at all. Now, obviously, it's a measure of if you're succeeding or not, but there's so much other ways that there are so many other ways of measuring your success other than that, and done in such a way that is kind of belittling if you're failing or not hitting your targets or achieving what you want to be. But it creates all kinds of negativity. Mm. And the other thing as well that you said, sorry, I'll just finish this and I'll be quiet. Obviously, this you're the guest. I'm here to listen to you. The other thing, now I've forgotten what I was going to bloody say.
no, are you at work?
Yeah, it's gone. You did it.
Oh, no.
He's a mentalist as well. Tell us a little bit, well, first of all, what you wanted to say, Johnny, before I interrupted you.
I nearly forgot. No, what I was going to say is also you see that sometimes when people are reliant on that scale, sometimes if they think they've put on weight, they don't want to get on it. And then, or they might miss a class because they think, well, I've been bad, I put on weight, and they'll avoid it. And I found this when I was doing my 40th checkup. So when I was coming up to 40s, probably I was pretty stressed. I thought I knew I wasn't in good nick at all. But what I did, I delayed my health check for nearly 2 years. And you think that's crazy. The one thing that would probably highlight what I needed to do, I actually thought I want to be fitter before I have my health check, which is just ego. And that's like when we go, oh, I'll be fitter once I go to the gym. I want to get fit to go to the gym. And you're like,
or lose weight and then go to the class.
Yeah. And you think, no, that's not what it's about. So it's
not the purpose of it.
Yeah. And I just find with the scales, what I find really interesting is like sometimes you get scales that are wrong. And this is how the weights you carry isn't directly affecting your emotions, because we used to have a set of scales that were wrong. Didn't realize they were wrong, but you stand on them and you go, oh, no, I've lost weight, but they're wrong. Actually, I weigh more. But then you go around and you feel great. Oh, yeah, and everything feels like it feels better. But actually, all that you've done is the brain's just being tricked. Yeah. And then suddenly you love yourself at this weight that if it showed a different number, you'd hate yourself.
I just remembered the thing I was going to say now.
Well, say it.
Thank you, because it'll go again. It hasn't. The thing about this, and this is something I found so powerful in the work that we've done together, is dipping into, I don't want to say dipping into future Carl, because that sounds wrong, but dipping into any Carl. No one wants to dip into me. But looking at future Carl, who has achieved the things he wanted to, who has achieved that success, is in a place in which it's already done. Mm. And then leaning into that to think about how I would feel or take advice from that person gives you the ability to completely change your perception and how you feel in that moment.
Yeah.
And this is something, like you said, like you jump on the scales and they're wrong and you think that you've lost more weight than you have, or you're lighter than you are, and it completely changes your mood and how you are. It's like when I first went to the gym, I did one session and I was walking around like I was Arnie, because I just felt like, you know, all of a sudden, like I looked at myself in the mirror, like literally after one session, I was like, I can see my I can see my six pack coming through. Absolutely no chance of that. But you know, it's just because I'd taken some positive action, it had a positive effect on how I felt. And I think that's really key.
Yeah. And I'm reading a book at the moment, and I recommend this for anyone. It's Dan Sullivan, who is about entrepreneurs, but you can apply this to weight loss. The book is called The Gap and the Gain. I don't know if you've read it, but this is basically a very simple way of explaining what I've just said about loving where you are and also seeing your progress. And what he basically says is, as you go on your journey, so if let's keep this to weight loss. So you weigh a certain amount and then you've got this ideal weight you're going to be. But then as you start moving through your journey, you're focusing on the end result. So maybe you stand on the scales one day and you thought you're going to lose 5 pounds and you've lost 2. And you're like, oh, you still lost 2 pounds, but because you're comparing it to your ideal, which is a future which hasn't been created yet, you then beat yourself up. And he calls that the gap from where you are to where you want to be. And if you focus on that, it creates a very negative feeling, which with weight loss will probably make you give up or eat more. Whereas if you focus on the gain, so if you go, right, so you look, and you might have lost some weight, or it just might be that you just feel better. You've had some more energy and it's not false positivity. It's like focusing on the gain. What you do is you create different emotions that then drive you to take different action. because you realize this future is the horizon line that's always going to move. So like when I started doing pull-ups, I thought, when I can do 10 pull-ups, strict pull-ups in a row, I'm happy. Well, now I want to do 20. And then I can always look at that 20 and go, oh, I can only do like 12, 13, whatever. But if I look at that's the gap. If I look at the gain and go, when I first started after dislocating my elbow, I could do zero, absolutely zero. And now I can do, say, 13 in a row. And you go, that's a huge gain. And you focus, and the brain will always want to go to the gap, but you always bring it back and focus on the gain. And I think with weight loss, that's key.
And I see, and so, ironically and confusingly, here, the gain would be the loss, not the...
Yeah. But even not the loss, even if, just say like you, because the brain will want to default to the negative. So even if you go, how many people, I know people, they try a diet and they're trying to lose weight and they don't lose any weight in the first while and they go, it's waste time. And they feel bad. They're looking at this ideal. They're comparing themselves. I may as well just enjoy myself and eat the ice cream or whatever. But even if you haven't lost anything, you look, and this is another Dan Sullivan thing, where he talks about the strategic byproducts. Like, so if you've cut out this food and you're not eating it and you've shown restraint, like what is, even if you haven't lost the weight, what is the gain? They've found this part of the brain now with, especially in people losing weight, it's bigger. And they think it sits in the sort of willpower, not a great one for willpower, but they think it's not only that, it's the will for life, to live. So you think, even if you haven't lost weight, if you've not been eating the crap that you normally eat, that is a gain. Mm-hmm. And you've become this different version of yourself. So it's a great book if you want to read it. I've only just started it, but what I find is it's given me a very simple way to explain what I explain about the future self, looking back and evaluating. It's just a simple way. Am I in the gap or am I in the gain?
I'm going to buy it and read that, Johnny, because one of the key things that I do with all my clients when I'm coaching is to look at the processes and focus on the processes that, when followed, will lead to the goal. Because 1 week to the next, sometimes 1 week doesn't go well. And this is something I think, especially for people who go to weight loss groups, the very first week, there's a big change of processes. There's, you know, a big change of eating habits, the body adjusting to it, and usually a great big loss that comes in that first week, which is really motivating. It's great. It gives people that enthusiasm to keep going. But then the next week, when it's, you know, 20% of what they lost in their first week, there's that demotivation. Oh, you know, a bit disappointed. Or I see people constantly on Facebook posting, lost 1 pound this week. Bit disappointed with that. I was hoping for more. And like you say, that's in the gap instead of being in the gain. Whereas the gain really is that you have lost weight this week. Yeah, and that's why I like to zoom out. A lot of people who I talk to, if they've had a bad week, it's like, oh, well, this week, if I can lose that, I'll be back to where I was. And no, because you've lost like 3 stone before all of that. Don't focus so closely on exactly where you are. But looking at the time, we're running out of it, unfortunately.
Have we got time to talk about the model or not? Or we can just do that another time. It's up to you.
I think we have. Yeah.
I would just show, because it's just a great tool to explain what's going on when things you think aren't going right.
And it's been so helpful for me. It really has. So you know, that's why we can take the extra time. This is bonus content.
So what you've got with the model, and this is from the Life Coach School, you've got your circumstance, which is a C. So anyone, I'll try and explain it. So anyone just listening to it, you've got a C at the top for circumstance. You've got your thoughts, which is a T. F for feelings, action, A, and results. CTFAR is obviously the easiest way to understand that or remember it. Now, your circumstance is just the data. It is just the facts. So it is the weight that you would be, or the weight that you've gained, the weight that you've lost. So let's just say, say you got your weight, you're 16 stone. That would be your fact. That's the only thing that everyone would agree on. What you think about that will determine the results you get. So what might be something that someone that you've worked with, Carl, if they're just say their ideal weight is 11 stone and they're 16 stone, what might they be thinking about themselves?
That I'm the worst. You know, I'm awful. I'm terrible.
Let's take that. So what they do is, they got this weight and then they think I'm awful. And then what we do is we explore, when you think I'm awful, what do you feel? How do you feel? And they might go, it could be a lot of things, disappointment, shame.
Guilt, you know, depressed, sad.
Yeah, that's good.
Unhappy, yeah. Self-conscious.
So there's loads, but we pick one.
And usually the most prominent one, isn't it?
Yeah, and also it's just when you go, when you think I'm awful, how do you feel? Is one thought, one feeling. And then, but this is the thing. What do you do when you feel sad? And what we do is we find a moment in their life when you go, when you've sort of got on the scales and you're 16 stone and you think, oh, I'm awful, and you feel sad, what do you do? So you might go and eat. What other things do you find people do, Carl? Go and eat.
The volume of the negative self-talk goes up.
Negative self-talk. So I say
sulk in a respectful way, but you know, just almost inaction. You know,
pitying, isn't it, really, and all that sort of stuff. But all this stuff, well, and what they won't do, they don't look at sort of solutions. They're very focused on that problem. And then what happens is our actions give us a result. And what happens is you probably eat, so you're more likely to put on weight. And because of your negative self-talk, you're more likely then to think that you're bad. And so you're more convinced by this. So then you're trying to lose weight to make yourself feel better. Mm. But the only reason you feel bad is because of what you think about your weight. Because a rugby player go, oh, I'm a legend. Perfect weight. I know a guy at work who's big. He's not necessarily muscly. He wants to be 16, 17 stones. So he loves it. But this model, what it does, it shows two things. It separates out that the fact, the circumstance, is not causing your feeling. It's this. So we clean this up first.
Which is and the thought. And
it shows what it creates. Because what people do is, if you just showed that part of the model, the CTF, you go, well, 16 stone, I feel like I'm awful and I'm sad. But then when you go, but that actually makes you eat more. The weight doesn't make you eat more. It's because you think I'm awful. And then, because a lot of people will go, yeah, but then it motivates me to lose weight. But what you'll find is when you really break it down, there's something else going on there. They might have a thought like, I got to sort myself out. Let's get to work. This often, I'm awful, doesn't create a lot.
No. And it leads to people giving up.
And what this does is we clean up all the thoughts about themselves first. And then you realize in this thought line, if it said, I love myself, and you might feel content, and then you probably, the action would be you'd look after that thing that you love as opposed to constantly beating it. And it's a really, really powerful tool. And I did it with someone where he just wasn't losing weight, and he was, every time he got on the scales, he would just hate himself. And what we did is we imagined that he was the weight, his ideal weight. So it wasn't like a wandering, like, just what would you be thinking if you were that ideal weight? And he went, oh, if I was that ideal weight, I'd be eating healthy food. I'd be doing all this. Well, let's do that. And then suddenly his weight actually started dropping to that weight, because he was acting and being the person that was that weight ahead of time.
Stemming from those thoughts
that
were aligned to his goal.
Yeah. So that's in a quick nutshell.
I appreciate that, Johnny. It's such a powerful tool, and it can be applied to everything, can't it? It's not just for weight loss. It can be used. And then really, to sum that up, it's the thought that's driven by the circumstance.
Yeah.
That thought gives you the feeling that you experience, not the circumstance itself, because you can change your thought and the circumstance is exactly the same. But the way you show up for yourself, the action you take, and the results that you get can be completely different.
And it's not false positive thinking. It's to the first stage is awareness. When you go, I'm this weight and I think I'm awful, I think I look horrible, whatever it is, you don't even have to change it. You just got to just become aware of it to start with. I'm realizing that the circumstance is never what's causing the feeling, because otherwise we give all our power away to something out of our control. And even when you lose weight, if you think if you gain weight that you're awful, you're going to live a life of scarcity and fear when you even are at your ideal weight. Whereas this way, you can actually enjoy it.
Amazing. Johnny Bevan, thank you very, very much indeed.
My pleasure, mate. It's been brilliant.
Special guest on today's show. Absolutely. It's been great hearing you talk and listening to you and talking to you outside of a coaching session. Because obviously it's usually all about me, which I love, you know, don't get me wrong.
I think you tried to do that with this as well, but I'm not sure.
Well, we'll listen back to it and find out, probably not. We'll let listeners decide. But anyway, it's my show, so, you know.
It's been great.
Thank you very much. And I wish you all the best. And yeah, I'd love to have you back on the show in the future as well.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant, mate. Anytime. Thank you very much.
Okay. Now, in terms of if people want to find you, see more of your work, get in touch about coaching, where is the best place to come and find you?
I do quite a lot on Instagram, Johnny Bevan, and then you'll see me on the Burnout Coach, the Police Burnout Coach. I do a bit on Facebook as well, but also I'm doing more on LinkedIn these days because I find the people I mainly work with, the police officers, are trying to hide themselves on Instagram rather than, whereas LinkedIn, they're there as police. But I work with as many non-police as I do as police. So yeah, if you think you want to come along and sort of see what it's all about, give us a shout.
Yeah. And one thing I will say is you go on live quite a lot and talk about different topics. And that in itself is just very valuable because you really hit on some important points and in that short moment can give a lot of people insights. So yeah, well, definitely.
And I do the presentations as well. What I find is I love giving my business is my one-to-one coaching. That's what I do, one-to-one on Zoom. But I love presenting. It's a fear I had to overcome. So, and I think people get so much out of that. I've had people that were not going for jobs, promotion, and then through just attending that, applying what I taught them there, have then gone for promotion and enjoyed it, not felt all the anxiety. So even if you listen and think, oh, you'd like me to come and speak to your company or your group and that, just let me know and we can just sort of work that out. That's no problem at all.
Excellent. We'll put all the links so people can contact you if they'd like to. Johnny, thank you so much. It's been great.
Cheers, mate. Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
I'd also like to say a big thank you to you, our listeners. I appreciate you joining us at the Weight Loss Warrior podcast and would love that you become part of our tribe. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast to never miss a new Weight Loss Warrior tell their story. We share brand new episodes every single Monday and Thursday and hope that you join us next time. You can also find us on Instagram, where we share great tips and advice on how you can lose weight in a safe and sustainable way. Simply search for Weight Loss Warrior Podcast and follow us today. Remember, be kind to yourself and keep looking forward. You can achieve your goals.